Amen, amen. Good morning, Genesis Metro Church. Give it up for the band leading us in worship today. They do an awesome job, even when everything doesn't go right, right? God is here, and He abides in the praises of His people. And it's a pleasure. It is a pleasure to gather with God's people and lift high the name of Jesus. We're in a sermon series entitled Surrounded, and it came out of Uprising. Raise your hand if you went to Uprising. Yeah. Did it change your life?
Yeah.
Did it give you a God story?
Yeah.
Are you here?
Yeah.
Are you here?
We're all here.
Thank you. Thank you. We're a month out. I just wanted to make sure that we're still here. Can I tell you, Uprising was transformative for my life? Can I tell you that I grew up, I've been in the ministry since I was 18 years old, and I'm 49, so that's 31 years of preaching and teaching and ministry. And can I tell you, I never would have dreamed that God would bring me here and my family, and I would see some of the life transformation that He's allowed us to see just in the last 10 months. Can I tell you that for a lot of my life, I was in a system that was constraining. For a lot of my life, I believed the wrong thing about myself. 30 years in ministry, trying to do whatever God called me to do, doing it with my utmost strength. Over the course of that 30 years of ministry, I've also had a 30-year friendship with our pastor, Pastor Tim Bourne. And every now and then, Pastor Tim would say, "Hey, Mark, are you doing everything that you could possibly do?" And I'd be like, "Oh yeah, I'm doing it, man. I'm grinding it out." And then he'd say, "Let's go play golf." And so we go play golf. And there was a time in seminary when I could smoke him on the golf course. And then he moved here and he got really good. But now I could beat him again, I think, if he had the courage to get out there. And we'd be on the golf course, and Pastor Tim would say, "Mark, I think God could use you in greater ways. I think there's greater potential." And I would be like, no, I know, Tim, no. I mean, I'm doing the things." But there was something that he could see in me that I couldn't see in myself. And it's because my identity was wrapped up in a false belief about myself. My identity was wrapped up in a constraining system where God couldn't get out of me everything that He wanted to get out of me. I want to show you a video clip. This is from Uprising this year. Let's watch this video real quick.
Community that will last for generations to come. You don't know how you've turned these lives around. Time will tell how lives were impacted because you poured into them this week. Because it's worth it. Is it worth it?
It's worth it.
Is it worth it?
It's worth it.
It's worth it. It's worth it. Your brothers are worth it.
Now, can I tell you, I don't even recognize the dude on that screen. Can I tell you that? I didn't show the video so that I could gloat. I showed you the video because there was a span of time in my life where I couldn't ever imagine. If you had asked me 30 years ago, "Mark, would you ever be pouring into some men, serving them communion right before doors that are on fire and watching 320 men turn their lives around and have a God moment in that capacity?" 30 years ago, I would have said no. A year ago, I would have said, "No, man, I don't see that coming out in me. I don't think that's in there." But can I tell you that in the last 10 months that my family and I have been here, I've seen more life transformation, more souls rescued from the pits of hell, more people identified with Christ in baptism than I ever have in 30 years of ministry. It's because I started believing, I'm starting to believe that God can do so much more if we're willing to cast off those self-doubts, that self-perception, that false identity. In our Surrounded series, we launch from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And here's what it says. to remind you. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us get rid of every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us, and run with endurance the race marked out before us. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that there are weights that we carry that in order to run the most efficiently, in order to do everything that God has for us to accomplish, those weights have to be cast off. We have to reckon with the sin that entangles us. Pastor Tim has taught us about the sin that entangles us, telling us don't get caught up. But this morning, I want to talk a little bit about the weight that we carry, the weight of a false identity. One of the characters in history that was mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, that's one of those cloud of witnesses, is a man named Gideon. Anybody ever heard of Gideon? Raise your hand. Gideon. Gideon was a simple man, an ordinary man, but God used him to do extraordinary things. Gideon was a ruler, a judge in the time of Israel. In fact, he judged a whole nation for 40 years. That's what he became. Everybody said became. He became a judge in Israel. He began his journey to leadership by stepping in obedience to the calling that God had in his life. He was able to rally an army of 32,000 valiant warriors. And God said, no, man, 32,000 is too many. I don't need that many. I would be afraid that if you conquered the enemy with 32,000, that you would start patting yourself on the back. So let me whittle it down for you. And he whittled it down to a number of men. Does anybody know the number? 300. And Gideon, and with 300 men and the power of God, they pushed back the oppression of the darkness and led Israel into a time of refreshing obedience to God. This is what Gideon did. But that's not how he started. Today we're going to land in Judges chapter 6. If you want to find your way there, I will meet you there shortly. But today we're talking about casting off the weight, running free from false identity. Running free from false identity. The Word of God teaches us that God has something for us that is bigger, that is better, that is longer lasting than anything we could imagine for ourselves. As a 49-year-old man, father of four, grandfather of one, a second one on the way. Can I tell? Yeah, oh boy. We want to, yeah. My name is not grandfather, it's Pep. All right, so just reminding you of that. Not grandpa. As a 49-year-old man, I'm still beginning to grasp new ways, new ideas, new concepts, pushing through boundaries that I never thought could be pushed through. And it's amazing. This is what God can do. And I wonder if there's anybody in the room today who's wrestling with a false identity. If there's anybody today in the room who can't imagine God using you in impactful ways, God blessing your neighborhood, God blessing your community, God blessing your family, walking and leading your family in realms of victory. I wonder if there's anybody here today who needs a reminder. Well, Judges chapter 6 tells the story of Gideon's calling. And let me read the text for us, beginning with verse 11. The Bible says, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. His son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, valiant warrior. And Gideon said to him, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? And where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about? They said, hasn't the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and deliver Israel from the grasp of Midian. I am sending you. And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Look, my family is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's family. Verse 16. But I will be with you, the Lord said to him. You will strike Midian down as if it were one man. Today we're talking about considering our identity. Today there's a warning that is there before us regarding self-doubt. Now listen, this is not a sermon that is going to, I'm not trying to tell you that you are more than you are, that if you pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you can make stuff. That's not what we're talking about today. That's weakness. This sermon today is about identifying what God has said about us. Is everybody tracking with me so far today? It's not about who you think you are. It's not about looking with your eyes through your lens about what is possible. It's about, first of all, recognizing that there is a creator who knows you better than you know yourself and listening to his voice. So today when we talk about self-identity and self-doubt, I want us to begin with the words of God because the creator sees what could be. Let's start there. Let's start with what God says. Because here we have in our text this tension between Gideon, who is fearfully hiding, trying to thresh out wheat in a wine press. Wine press is not made for that. And the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon and he says, the Lord is with you, valiant warrior. The word of God comes to Gideon and points out what God sees in him, even though Gideon has no idea what he's talking about. We find Gideon in a wine press. I got a picture of a wine press, I think. Do we have a picture of a wine press? So a wine press is carved out down into the ground, and because of the oppression of the enemy, the Midianites were ransacking the Israelites. They were stealing their livestock. They would have raids on the land. They would harvest wheat and they would pile it up, and then the enemy would come and take it all away. So here's Gideon trying to thresh wheat down in a wine press. Now, they had a threshing floor, okay? They had an open spot in the middle of a field to thresh wheat because it needs to be open so that when they pound the wheat down, the husks are removed, they toss the wheat in the air, the wind blows away the chaff, and what falls down is the seed, is the useful part. But instead of doing that, he was so afraid, he was down in this wine press trying to accomplish something that was good, something that would have been profitable, but doing it in a manner that was unproductive because he was believing more in the power of the oppression. I wonder today if there's anybody here who is trying to do the good things, trying to do the right things. I'm trying to lead my family. I'm trying to raise my home. I'm trying to work my job. I'm trying to do all of the things, wrestling with my finances, with my time, and with my energy, but it seems to be unproductive. And I'm wondering if we've started to believe the lies of the enemy. I'm wondering if we're starting to believe that we're always going to be just struggling like Gideon was. Gideon was hiding in a wine press trying to do what God was wanting him to do, but when God comes in, God says, oh no, you're a valiant warrior. Do you see the contrast here? Do you see where there could be some tension? Is God lying? What's the answer? Does God lie? No, the answer is no. Some of you are questioning that right now. No, God doesn't lie. God knows better than Gideon what is true about Gideon. So God speaks not to the condition of Gideon, but to what could be and should be true about Gideon. And there's a principle here. God speaks to what could be, not your condition. That's not to say that God doesn't know about your condition. that God doesn't know about the oppression and about the darkness that is pushing up against you and your family, but God is bigger than the darkness, and so God sees something in you that you can't see for yourself. And so when God addresses you, he calls you what you are and calls you what you could be. He doesn't call out your condition. He calls out what he created you to become. So the angel said, valiant warrior. And then in verse 14, he says, go in the strength that you have and deliver Israel from the grasp of Midian. I am sending you. You see, Gideon already had the strength to take the next step. Here's the reality about you and me and our faith journey with God. God knows what we're capable of. God knows what is possible about us. God knows the potential that rests in every one of his children. And so when God speaks to us, he draws out what he created us to be. So when God gives you this calling, there's something that you have to do with your false identity. It has to be forsaken. We have to take the lies that we believe about ourselves, the lies that the world says about us, the strength of the oppression, all of the things that cause us to doubt, and we have to, instead of believing it and embracing the negative self-talk, we have to cast it off. We have to forsake it. When you are at your worst, what are some things you say about yourself that maybe God doesn't say? I don't know about you, but I'll just confess, sometimes I'm pretty hard on myself. Is anybody else hard on yourself? Like I rip myself up and down, and I have a lot of tendencies towards negative self-talk. But when I start believing that, I'm believing something that God didn't say, but I said. I'm not believing what God says about me, I'm believing what others might perceive about me. We have to forsake the false identity. What was Gideon's false identity? When the angel came to Gideon and said, the Lord is with you, valiant warrior. Look at verse 13. He said, please, right? I may have watched too many 90s sitcoms, but I can imagine him with this little sassy attitude like, please, the Lord is with me. Are you serious? What did he say? Please, if the Lord was with us, why has all this happened? Has anybody ever been in that state in your life? You're trying to do the right thing. You know who you are, right? And you're taking steps of obedience. You're trying to be a good person. And everybody tells you God is with you. And you say, no, man, if God was with me, why has all this bad stuff happened? And then we start to believe our perception of reality. Gideon said, please, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? And then in verse 15, he said, look, my family is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's family. Gideon had made the wrong assessment about who he was in God's eyes based upon external circumstances. He had a self-deception. When he looked in the mirror, he didn't see a valiant warrior. He saw a defeated loser. And then he had all the evidence that he wanted to find to prove that he was a loser. He started looking at all the circumstances, and everything that he saw confirmed the negative concept about himself. He had a victimhood mentality. I think we could preach a whole sermon series on victimhood mentality. Because we live in a state of existence in our culture where everybody is a victim of something. And listen, I'm not here to say that it's not true. I'm not here to say that your circumstances are not important. I'm not here to say your feelings aren't valid, of course. But I am here to say that if you want to be a victim of something, you'll be able to find something to victimize you. Everybody has something that victimizes. Everybody has something that oppresses them. Absolutely. But if you're a child of God, can I press into this just for a minute? If you're a child of God, you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. You've been born again. And God says things about you that have nothing to do with your circumstances or your condition or the oppression or the victimization that you find. Everything that God says about you is victory. So yeah, if you want to be a victim, go right ahead. Everybody else is doing it. Be a victim. Or you could cast off the victimhood mentality. You could look at your circumstances. You could look at your condition. You could look at your heart. You can look at yourself in the mirror. God help us getting old. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, well, I know what I see, but I also know what God says. And so what if we forsook those false identities? What if we, moving forward, realize that you can't run free while you're carrying what you used to be? What if the weight that is dragging you down is a negative self-perception, is the wrong identity? Where has fear reshaped your behavior? Where has your negative self-perception placed you? What's the wine press that you're living in right now? Because you can't see past your circumstances. You see, God called Gideon valiant warrior. And in doing so, he was offering Gideon this invitation to agree with what God said about him. Agree with what God says about you. We must be in agreement with God before we can be in alignment with God. I want to be aligned with God, don't you? I want to be, Paul says, keep in step with the Spirit. I want to be in step with the Holy Spirit. I want to walk with the Lord Jesus down the road of victory to spend eternity with Him in heaven. I want to be aligned with Him, but I can't be aligned with Him if I don't agree with what He's saying. We have to have agreement. We tell ourselves all these negative things. We have all the excuses that you could possibly come up with. We tell lies that we start to believe about ourselves. We start to say things like, well, I'm not enough. Or I'm too broken. Or you don't know what I've been through. Or I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I'm not the man of God that I should be. Or all of the excuses. I've had this bad traumatic experience and I'm just still trying to grapple with that. Grapple with it, sure. But don't use it as an excuse not to move forward, because God has something very different to say about His children. When he looks at you, if you're a child of God, he's not making an assessment about you based upon your surroundings. He's not telling you, oh man, yeah, you know what? You are a loser. You know, I don't think there's any hope for you. You think that comes out of the mouth of God? If you're a child of God, look what God says about you. I think they'll be on the screen. This is what God calls you. You are called. You are called. You're not forgotten. He's called you. He's chosen you. Anybody been picked last before? Right? This is not a pick last moment. This is before time began. He looked down through the annals of history and saw the blood of Jesus hanging on the cross and saw you born into this world and respond by faith in the gospel. It's as if you were always His. He chose you. That's what God says about you. You're called, you're chosen, you are a new creation. You're not limited by your past anymore. All things have become new. You are forgiven. Sin no longer defines your standing. Shame has lost its voice. You are righteous. You've been justified. When God looks at you, if you are in Jesus, He sees the blood of Jesus covering you. And He says, though you have sinned because of what Jesus has done and your faith in Him, I declare you righteous. Right? You're called righteous. You're justified. You are adopted as sons and daughters. That is, that you belong. You're not on the outside looking in. You are a part of the family of God. Co-heirs, Paul said, with Jesus. You are empowered. The Spirit of God lives in you. If you're a child of God, you've been born again. That is, you've been quickened or made alive by the Holy Spirit, who Paul says is the earnest, the non-refundable deposit of our expectation. And the Holy Spirit is sealed to you. Mind you, the same Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in you day by day by day by day. And he is there to make sure that when you breathe your last, you go to the presence of God in heaven. So don't tell me you don't have any power. Don't tell me you're weak. Don't make the excuse that the enemy is too strong or that the darkness is too overpowering. No, if you're a child of God, you have the Spirit of Christ living in you. You are empowered. What else does God's word say about us? He says that we are equipped. He's given us everything that we need to do, everything he's called us to do. Paul says that we are more than conquerors, not just barely scraping by in existence. He says you are over conquering. You are surpassing in victory because of what Christ has done. You are ambassador of the kingdom. You are the light of the world. You are the workmanship of Jesus Christ, created for good works. I love in the Old Testament where the writer says, I am fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. Listen, that's every person in this room. You're not an accident. Your mom and daddy may not like you. But Jesus died for you. You may have been an ugly baby. 30 years in ministry, can I just tell you a little secret? They're all ugly. I'm sorry, I'm just telling you the truth. It's like, ooh. Except for mine, but you know. Nobody else thought you were a pretty baby, but God thought you were beautiful. He crafted you in the womb. He brought you here on purpose. I don't care how you got here. You're here because God wants you here. I don't care. It doesn't matter what mom or daddy did or didn't do. If you're here, you're beautifully and you're wonderfully made. And God looks at you and says, I've got big plans for you. I've got plans for a future, for hope, for kingdom impactment that I've laid out for you. I've laid this race out for you. And if you'll cast off those weights, don't center on your circumstances. Don't believe the lies of the enemy and of the other people and of yourself. Cast those off and come into agreement with what I've said about you. Think about the audacity of a person who looks their creator in the face and says, I don't think you're right about me. How brazen is that? To look God in the eyes and say, God, I know you love me and you created me, but I think you're wrong about me. I'm actually a loser. I'm actually weak. I'm actually tormented by my past. God, I think you've made a mistake. And God says, no. I'm not calling you based upon what's happening to you. I'm calling you for what I want you to become. Come into agreement with what God says about you. Breakthrough doesn't happen or begin when your situation changes. Breakthrough happens when your agreement changes. I love this about Gideon. God called him to be a mighty warrior. He called him a mighty warrior before he became one. Everybody try with that? Like, you don't become a mighty warrior and then get called one. You get called one and you become it. We talk with a lot of people who are like, man, I just want to serve. I just want to do this and I want to do that. And always that question is, well, what are you doing now? And they say, well, I'm waiting on the assignment. You've already been called. You become what you're called. And when you agree with God, here's what you realize. You realize that He is the one who empowers. God's presence is the real power. I love this text so much because the angel says, valiant warrior, and then Gideon just starts a litany of excuses. No, man, please, don't talk like that. Where's God? I don't feel His presence. All the enemy is mean, and I'm here in a wine press doing my thing, and I'm the weakest, and I'm the least. But verse 16, what are the first few words of verse 16? He says, but I will be with you. But I will be with you. He didn't contradict his circumstances. But what he did is reminded him of the source of success. He said, I'm going to be with you. There's a similar phrase in the book of Exodus where God has called Moses to lead the children of Israel out. And God says, you know, I'm going to provide my pillar of fire and pillar of cloud, and I'll go with you wherever you go, kind of nonchalantly. And then Moses says, hold up. Moses says, if your presence doesn't go with me, I'm not going. In other words, the source of my power, the source of my strength, if I'm going to do anything for the glory of God, if I'm going to do anything with this wreck of a life that I've created, if we're going to have any kind of breakthrough, the only way that it's going to happen is if God shows up in power. Your identity is not rooted in your strength, but it is rooted in His presence. Let me leave you with some steps. Number one, identify the lie. What is it that you're telling yourself? What is it that others have told about you that you're starting to believe? I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I've already made too many mistakes. I've already made a wreck of my home. I just don't know if it's possible. Those are lies. I can't share my faith. I don't know enough about God's word. I can't serve in the church. Those are lies. Identify it. And then number two, replace it with what God has said. Replace it with what God has said, with God's voice. What has God said in His word? God has said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are sons and daughters of God. You are called and chosen, justified, redeemed, born again. Agreement with God comes before alignment. And this is where I'm challenging you this morning, because you may not agree with everything God says about you. You may say, oh God, I just don't know. And this is where faith comes in. The chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. I'm challenging you this morning to believe, to trust in what Christ has done for you and what God says about you. Replace the negative voice. Replace the lie with God's voice. Thirdly, step out of what you're stuck in. This week, if you're stuck, take one step. Take one step. Take one step of obedience. If you're in the wine press, first thing Gideon did was he stepped out of the wine press. And the future before him was so bright. Was it scary? Absolutely. Was it awesome? Yes. Did it change history forever? Absolutely. But it began with one step out of the wine press. This morning, take one step of obedience, whatever it is. Believe what God has said about you and step out of what you're stuck in, and then run your race. Remember, you cannot run free while carrying what you used to be. Run free. Only God knows what's going to happen through your life. Only God knows. And I can promise you, it's bigger and better than anything you can imagine. I can promise you, it's going to make the rest of your life better. It's going to prepare you for eternity. And it's going to impact the kingdom and your community. I can promise you that. You know what else I can promise you? I can promise you that you are part of the cloud of witnesses. And I can promise you that as you walk in obedience, there are going to be people watching you who are impacted as well. If you ever begin to think that you live on an island, that your personal decisions don't have an impact on others, if you ever begin to believe the lie that a personal sin is just private and it doesn't affect others, if you ever begin to believe the lie that the limitations you've put on yourself would not be transferred to those around you, you've embraced deception. Because it all has an impact. It has a ripple effect that goes out from you, whether it's good or bad or ugly, whatever it is, the decisions that we make impact generations to come. I told you a little bit about my story. Last Wednesday night, I came to Fuse, and usually when I come to Fuse, I sit back there. You know, kind of like the old curmudgeon men in the Muppet Show. You're just kind of like, no, I'm not. I don't think I'm a curmudgeon. I'm engaged. And at the end of Fuse, after everything was over, our 18-year-old daughter, Rhoda, she just comes up to me, and she has tears in her eyes, and she said, "Dad, I'm just so glad we're here. I'm just so grateful that we're here." Did I have doubts? Did I believe lies about what God could do? Absolutely. But once I started embracing what could be, you better believe there's generations after us who are watching and who are impacted by our decisions that we make. It's not about us. It's about the glory of Jesus going forth into eternity, long after we've been gone. Don't believe the lie. Embrace what God has said, and let's walk in obedience. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this example of Gideon. An ordinary man who was beset by fear and failure, victim mentality, but who believed what you said about him. And when he began believing what you said about him, oh my goodness, things changed, not just for him, but for an entire nation. Because God, you can do immeasurably more than anything we could ask or imagine. I don't know what burdens, what weights are on you today, but I do know this, that God has called you to more. He's called you to victory. He's called you to kingdom impact. And I know there's one step we can take today to walk in obedience, to walk in our calling. And it begins with worship. It begins by ascribing to the Lord the glory due his name. So I invite us to worship today in response to God's word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.